Daf is Daf Kuf. So the very last line of Tzadi Tesmebiz, the Gemara says Gira Nashesh and his Basho. So the Misha on Daf Tayyivav told us that if a Gira Nash was cooked with other items, so if you recognize that Gira Nash, we take it out, and otherwise not. So the Gemara says, why don't we say Live Tabaruba? Why don't we say Bit Tabarof? Why do we have to take it out? Or why do we say that the iser is the nos and tam in the rest of the pot? The Gemara says because of birya shiny, because the gira nash is considered a birya, and the birya is not mivato. So this is a very, very big discussion. This whole daf, usually when it's a small gemara in the latosos, and that means there's a lot to talk about in the Rishonim, but there's a concept of birya labato. When it comes to a entity in its own right, a small organism of some sort, so then it's not a bittel. How do you define a birya? So there are a number of different criteria needed. One is, has to be a birya that's alive, as opposed to a chita. The Gemara says a chita. There's a opinion, I think, of Shmuel. Shmuel holds that a chita, a kernel of wheat, is considered birya. We paskin that's not. It has to be something that's alive. Obviously, a chita is alive, but something that moves, that's a little more chias than simply wheat that's growing from the ground. That's number one. Number two is, it has to be considered a birya from the moment it was came into this world, when it was born or created. It can become birya later on in life, and also has to be a complete item. Once it's missing something, a grape, for example, a grape's a birya. If you have half a grape, that's not considered birya. So that's relevant with regards to bracha achrona as a side point for a moment. There's a shaila whether or not you have to say bracha achrona on something that's a birya but doesn't have a shiva kazayas. So a grape would be an example that's less than a kazayas, but it's a birya. So the suffix whether that requires a bracha achrona. So that's a din of a birya. So now look at Tosa on the top here. Tosa's right, even though the Gemara says birya labato, Tosa says v'afilu be'elef labato, even if it's a thousand other items against it, a million against it, a birya can never be mevatel. And he says v'chein chaticha ru l'skabed, we're going to see that din in just a second. V'chita ru l'skabed means a chashiv meat. Even though it's not a birya, you're serving a nice ribeye, that's considered a chashiv, something that you're willing to, you're going to give a guest, to serve an important guest. So something so chashiv like that, not bottle as well, even be'elef. So there's a very, very important discussion the Aruch HaShulchan talks about, something that's not new to our generation, that there are bugs in many types of things, flowers and fruit and lettuce, and no one's makbid. A lot of people are not makbid on this. How do you deal with this? And it's a birya. It's a small item. It's not. There's no bittel. You can't say it's bittel. So they try to figure out what's the limud zechus and why people don't check things for bugs. Now, certainly, lechachila one does have to check for bugs. But those who don't, is there any room for leniency? So some say not everyone holds like Tosos. Not everybody holds a filu be'elef labato. So if it's going to be a ratio of the small little bugs that are up against a thousand amount of lettuce that's there, that's one explanation why it's going to be bittel. It says against Tosos, but most don't hold like this. Others say that since they compare birya to the chaticha ruis kabed, they're really the same shorish. They're both about something that's a davar chashiv. So just like a chaticha ruis kabed, something chashiv, so too birya has to be something that's a chashiv item. And the Mishnah Tzakov says, since the bugs are so small, you can't see them, barely see them, that's not called a davar chashiv. And since it's not a davar chashiv, it will be batal. The birya is only not batal when it's a davar chashiv, but when it's so small and it's not a davar chashiv, so then we say that there is bittel. And these are among other explanations as well, but that's the basic idea of birya. Gemara now says, v'chein chaticha shel nevela. So what was this going on? The Mishnah taught us that if you have a piece of nevela or a piece of non-kosher fish that fell in the rest of the cholim pot, let's say, so when you recognize it, you have to remove that item and the rest of the pot, depending on whether there's no sin tam or not, the rest of the pot may or may not be asur. So Gemara says, v'tibat el beruba. So why don't we say it's a bat barov? That if a piece of fish and a piece of chaticha shel nevela falls in, bittel, there should be bittel barov. So the Gemara says, Hanicha, this makes sense. Laman damar kol shadar chalimanos shaninu. Ella, laman damar es shadar chalimanos shaninu ma'ik lememra. So what's this talking about? We've seen this before several times. Maseches Beita talks about this. So if you look at the Rashi on the top here. Rashi says, kol shadar chalimanos shaninu. Maseches Arla, in the third parak, gavi chavile tilsin de lobato. Different types of vegetables that there's no bittel. Honami pamim shenimnes. What's going on here is there are like seven or eight items that the Mishnah Brisa lists that you only sell them when you count them. You sell them by the number. So something that's always counted. So the minion is a davar chashuv, and there's never a bittel. Meaning I sell eggs by the dozen. So each egg is being sold. I count how many eggs are being sold there. So eggs would be an example of something that's always sold as, it's not listed on the list. I don't think it's on the list, but use eggs for an example. So I always sell eggs by the number. So something that's sold by minion, always sold by the minion, there's no bittel. Because each one counts individually. The fact that I sell them by the number tells me that the minion's chashuv. So, but if there's another opinion that held that no, anything that sometimes is sold by minion and sometimes sold by weight. I could sell jelly beans by the weight. I could sell them by the count, let's say. So something that can sometimes be sold by the minion, so that also will say there is no bittel. So if you assume kol, anything that gets counted sometimes, even though not always, then we'll say no bittel. This makes sense. Because since a chaticha shel nevela sometimes is sold by the weight, sometimes it's sold by the count, so therefore we understand why there's no bittel and berov in this case. But back to the Gemara now, Ela Laman Damar Eshadar Chul Limanos Shaninu, only those items that are only sold b'minin, you only sell them by the count, which are only list of 7 or 8, Ma'ik Lameymar. Chaticha Shanavela and Adag Tag Tameh are not only sold by count, they're oftentimes sold by weight. So that means we should say there is going to be bittel berov. So why don't we apply bittel berov by Chaticha Shanavela? And the Gemara answers, Shaini Chaticha Hol Verui Leskabed Ba Lefnei Orchem. Since this piece of meat, we're talking about a chashuv piece of meat, that's something you would present to a chashuv a guest, and therefore, even though it's not sold by the count, by the minion, but still, since it's royal eskabe, it's chashuv, and something it's a davar chashuv, there's no bittel. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch and Kuvav Simanim or so, it lists a series of examples, exceptions, that bittel doesn't apply. So we saw birya doesn't apply, chaticha royal eskabe doesn't apply, things, there's a whole list, like 5 exceptions where bittel doesn't apply, so these are 2 of them brought down in this Gemara. The Gemara now says we're on 6 lines down the Tzricha. You need both cases of the Chaticha Harulis Kabed, and you also have to teach a din of Birya, that these are 2 examples, 2 exceptions that Bittel does not apply. Why? Because the Ashim Inan, if we taught the case of Gid only, Mishum de Birya hi, so a Gid, which is a Birya, we understand why there's no Bittel. Ava, but to say a Chaticha, when it comes to a Chaticha Harulis Kabed, aim Allah. Maybe there I would say Bittel should apply. That's why the Mishnah says, no, a Chaticha Shanavela, which is a Chaticha Harulis Kabed, that too doesn't have, it's not subject to Bittel. And if we taught the other way around, only that, the chashuv, a piece of meat, only that, we say there's no bittel. About gid, aim alo. No one would serve a gid hanasha to a guest. So maybe we should apply bittel. Tzricha, that's why we have to teach you birya. It's saying it's an entity in its own right. There's no bittel by that case either. Gemara now says, Darish Rabba Bar Barchana. One time he was giving a drasha, and he paskin the chaticha shel nevela. Fishadag tame a piece of non kosher meat, a fish, a piece of a nevela. Eino oseres, achititen tam, birotav ubekipo b'chatichos. That when a piece of non kosher meat or a nevela falls in, it only asks it as long as it's able to impart taste in the sauce around it and all the different items are in the tafsha. So just take a look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Eino oseres, it's around 5 or 4 narrow lines down. Eino oseres, b'plitasa, has to have enough taste. So in other words, which sounds pretty basic, that as long as you have the sauce and the other pieces of kosher meat there, all that, that amounts to the shishim of the non-kosher meat, that's good enough, that we apply shishim. That was his drasha. Sounds pretty basic. However, the Gemara says, Oki Rav Amora, Allah, the Darsh, Rav would, he pointed Amora. Amora, we see many places in Shas, Rashi points out here, Amora is a pointed maturgamon, a guy who could have a loud voice, and Darshan, so Rav would whisper into this Amora's ear, and he would speak to the Rabbim, he was able to project his voice very nicely, and perhaps sometimes explain and translate what he was saying, if there are different languages. So he, Oki Rav Amora, Allah, the Darsh, he said, Kevin Shanosam Tam Bichaticha, Chaticha atzma nasas nevela. This is a very important dinner called Chanan. It's those who learned Bas B'chalav and Tarobas. It's called Chanan. Chanan stands for Ches Nunun Chaticha nasas nevela. So what does that mean? So once the non-kosher meat imparts tam in a kosher meat next to it, that kosher meat now becomes treif as well. That takes on the din of a nevela. So if kosher, let's say meat A is treif, and meat B is kosher, if meat A puts some tam into meat B, the entire meat B now becomes a nevela in its own right, and now you need shishim not only connected A, but you need shishim also connected B. That's what he said, very much against what Rabba Bar Barchana darshaned above.
Do they have to be touching, or it's just because they're close to each other?
As long as it imparts taste, however that might be. It could be through reich, let's say, smell. It could be through zeya, steam. There are different ways how something could impart taste into something else. So then the Gemara says...
That's only if it's not shishim.
Yeah, exactly. If it's shishim, it has to... All the dinim of tam. So then the Gemara says, "V'oseres kol achatichas kulam mipnei shein mina." And then it's going to go ahead and aser all the other pieces of meat because it's all of the same type. So just look at Rashi just to have some clarification here. Says Rashi, "Kevin shenitna tam bechaticha, achas shaisa betida tamid." So there's one piece of meat that's right next to it. So the meat B, which was kosher, is now next to meat A. It's rubbing against it and it's taking all the taste from the non-kosher meat A. Or these were the only two pieces of meat that were initially in the chilim pot, and then when it cooks together, even if it's not next to each other, it's going to impart taste into the kosher meat. As Ezra pointed out, there wasn't 60 of the meat. What Ezra's pointing out here, if meat A, which is treif, and meat B is huge, and meat B is 60 times meat A, even though meat A is treif, it's not going to impart taste in meat B, since meat B is 60 times. So it has to be a case where meat B is not shishim, the size of meat A. So again, so these are the only two pieces of meat in the kedera. They're cooking together, be'isser, the nitna ha'nevela tamba, and meat A, the nevela, imparts tam into meat B. V'charkach nasan shar chatichas b'kedera. Then you start dumping more food in now, so now you need shishim kenegin meat A plus meat B. Because again, chanan, the chaticha that was kosher, is now nasas nevela. And then it gases all the other items. So then Rashi says, look at the Rashi, two Rashi's lower, oseres kol ha'chatichas kulam, mipnei shehein mina. Why does it ask the rest of the pot now? Chaticha A plus chaticha B. The kasaka daitech, the havamina here is, mipnei shehein mina, lo bala, vafilu yeshba, and kidei bitel shem. Let's say there's 60 times more meat you threw in. So you had meat A, meat B, which amounted to, I don't know, 1 pound, let's say. So now you put 100 pounds of kosher meat afterwards. You didn't do this lechachil. You didn't know what was going on. You put 100 pounds of meat, which is more than 60 certainly. So even then, the Gemara says that even though there's no longer any taste because there's more than shishim, it still doesn't make a difference because min b'mino lo batil. That's the din. Now just stop here for a moment before midway and on a couple of points in Chanan. It's important to know Chanan. We learn the halachas of Chanan. And there's a debate, which Isurim, and Bim Machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, which Isurim are subject to Chanan. So according to some Rishonim, it only applies to Bas B'Chalav, and others say it applies to Bas B'Chalav and all other Isurim as well. So that's a Machlokas Rabbeinu Tam Ephraim. Everyone agrees that it applies to Bas B'Chalav. Does it also extend itself to Shar Isurim? That's 2 days in the Tosfos. And the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah argue on this point as well. The Ashkenazim assume, like the Ramah assumes, that the Chanan applies to Shar Isurim as well. Correct. I forget the whole Shakvatar. I think in the next paragraph, I think is where the Tosfos talks about it. I don't remember. But this is the big machlokas. Okay. So then the Gemara says, is it possible maybe he talks about it here? I don't remember. I have to look in the... Could be Tosfos here talks about it. I'll find the Tosfos afterwards. So there's a big one, the huge one on the bottom here talks about Bishakidim. That's what he talks about. So then the Gemara says, now we've established, so you have a Chaticha A, Chaticha B that are both Aser, Midin, and Nevela, and then even if you have 60, you have kosher meat against those two pieces of meat, it's not going to work because Min B'mino ain't a bottle. So the Gemara now says, Amar Li Rav Safra Labaye, Michti, let's understand this for a second. Rav, Kaman Amra, the Shmaita, who does Rav passing like? We know this Deya. Kirav Yehuda, the Amra Min B'mino Labato. So if it's really about Min B'mino Labato, that's the whole idea here. Ma'irya Kinasan Tam. Who cares whether it gives a Tam in the first place or not? Afilo Kilo Nasan Tam Nami. Even if it didn't give, that first meat A and meat B that touched each other, we said the only reason why meat B becomes Nevela is because it took some Tam from meat A. But now if we assume min b'mino labatel, even without the tam, the fact that the two minim are the same, even Rabbi Yehuda would say it's labatel even without the tam. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes five narrow lines up. Afilu lo nitna tam b'chaticha shebetzida, even if it didn't impart tam into chaticha b, lo batel nami, it still wouldn't be bitel, the hanavela gufa minayuhi, they're the same types of minim, v'lo batel. So what's the whole idea of their imparting tam in the first place? It's min b'mino labatel. And so Gemara says no. Amar le hacha b'mayaskinan b'shekidem v'silka. The situation where you took it out you took it out before other items went in there. So what does that mean? So the idea is that look at Rashi b'shakidim v'silka le'iser v'salik rotev kodem shitin ha'acharon ha'acheros b'kedera. The nevela was in initially, and then you remove the nevela before putting all the other meat back inside. Hilkach. So if meat A, the nevela, put tam into meat B, and then you took meat A out, but meat B, which is still there, and meat B took some of the tam of the nevela, so now it's able to meet B, even though it's really kosher, but now it's nevela, because it has tam, it's now going to aser the rest of what's going on there. Fine. So then the Gemara says... So then the Gemara says, Rav Amar, Rav says, no, what's the case here? Rav Amar, afilu, even if I say, atayma lo kadam esilka. Let's say you didn't remove chatiche, you didn't remove the nevela. Still, even though Rabbi Huda holds min bimino labato, this case is not a case of all min biminos. There are other items in here as well. Havi min umino v'davar achar. There's min bimino, there's meat, there's also other items in there. There's vegetables, there's potatoes, there's beans, there's other things that are going on in there. Whenever you say v'chol min v'mino v'davar acher, so then if you have meat A, meat B, which are the same min, but you also have all the other items, we say silik es mino, kimisha eno. So now remove the meat B, which is davar heter, and take it out of the equation, and then v'she'eno mino, the non-min, meaning the potatoes and the vegetables that are there, rabba lav u'mivatlo. So that's the point here. Yes, there's min mimino labato, but there's min mimino, and there's also ein amino there. And then as long as you have that ratio of 60 of the ein aminos to the nevela, so then there would be bittel as well here. Okay. The new Misha tells us, noeg b'tahora v'eina noeg b'tmeir. Going back to the halachas of Gid HaNasha, that's what the parak we're talking about. So halacha Gid HaNasha applies to a kosher animal, to tahora, v'eino noeg b'tmeir. It doesn't apply to a non-kosher animal. So now Rabbi Huda Omer, af b'tmeir. No, he thinks it also applies to a non-kosher animal as well. So I'm Rabbi Huda, v'halo m'bnei Yaakov Nesar, Gid HaNasha, v'dayim behemet tmeir mutar shlem. So when was Gid HaNasha, when did it come into this world? We know from the times of Yaakov, you know, when he was struggling with the Sar Shel Esav, and that's when the Gid HaNasha Isser came in, that's where it's mentioned. So we see from there, even though at the time, the Kodem Matan Torah, behemoth tameos, non-kosher animals were permitted, yet there was an Isser Gid HaNasha, so it applied to even behemoth tameos. So to Bizman Azeh, after Matan Torah, there's going to be an Isser Gid HaNasha even on a behemoth tameo. So Chachamim say back, very fundamental machlokas here, Amru lo, b'sinai nemar ela shenichta b'mkomo. It wasn't given in the times of Yaakov, it was given only after Kabbalah Satorah. It was written back there retroactively, they wrote it, filled it in, the story of Yaakov and Esav, but that's not when it was given. It was only given after Matan Torah, at which point Behemot Tmeis were usser. You don't need to add another isser on top of the already existing isser of a non-kosher animal. So Gemara explains, v'savar Rabbi Yehuda isser chal isser. So what Rabbi Yehuda has to hold, if a non-kosher animal is already usser, so when you eat a non-kosher animal's Gid HaNasha, you're getting a second isser of Gid HaNasha of a non-kosher animal. But isn't that a problem of a klal ein isser chal isser? So are we to suggest that Savar Rabbi Yehuda yesh isser chal isser? That one isser can be chal on top of an already existing isser? V'hat Tanya, doesn't the Brisa teach us that Rabbi Yehuda himself omer, yachol te nivlas of tamei, mitamei begadim be'beis ablia. One might think if an of tamei, non-kosher animal, is in a vela. So non-kosher animal is already asr because it's not kosher. Now it died. It didn't have a shechita. So now there's a nevela on top of it being a non-kosher animal. So are we going to say that it takes on a din of a nevela and have all the dine tumah that if a person eats a nevela in general, his begadim become tameh and the isurim and tumah all come together? Tamalomer nevela utrefa lo yochel. The tameh ba. Mi she isur mishim bal teichel nevela. Yat zeh she ein isur mishim bal teichel nevela el mishim bal tochel tameh. So the only time in nevela is a nevela when the nevela is the only isser at hand. But when there's another isser, namely the isser of it being non-kosher as well, then we don't apply the din of a nevela. And this is Rabbi Yehuda making this drasha, so clearly he holds there ain isser, chal isser. The Chitim asks the Gemara, let's say you're going to suggest, kesavar ain begidim benosin tam, and maybe there's no nosin tam, that gidim don't taste like anything. Gidim are simply wood. Which means that this animal, of a non-kosher animal, of a pig, the gidim are an usser, mitzad the tumah. You could eat the, you know, let's say the gelatin, if you will, the gidim, which don't taste like anything. You could eat that from a pig because they have no taste to it. And therefore, the Gid HaNasha is able to chal on the gidan asher of the pig because there's no iser, it's a treifa on the gid, it ain't the gidan osin dam. So maybe you're going to say again, v'chitema kesava, Rabbi Huda holds, ain't begidim of anosin tam, u'betmea nami iser gid, ika, iser tumaleka, and therefore, the gidanasha, if one were to eat the gidanasha of a pig, there would be an iser gid, but there wouldn't be an iser of tumah. Can't be? Because sa Rabbi Huda ain't begidim anosin tam, does he really hold that way? Is Rabbi Huda really part of that group that holds ain't begidim anosin tam? V'hatani, the Braisa tells us that ha'ocha gidanasha shabahema temeya, if you eat a gidanasha from a non-kosher animal, Rabbi Huda mechayv shtayim, you're chayv two. What are the two? Seemingly one is for the eating a pig, and number two is for eating the gidanasha. So we see the gidanasha is subject to the iser of chazer, the iser of a non-kosher animal, because it is no same time. Rabbi Shimon, just to complete the Braisa, says poter. So he thinks you're poter. But we see clearly that Rabbi Huda holds that yesh begidim no sintam, and therefore there is an iser of eating tamea in addition to there being iser gidanasha. So the Gemara says, the olam kasavar yesh begidim beno sintam. Really, Rabbi Huda holds that there is flavor, there's taste when it comes to the gidanasha. And in a chanami, there's an iser of eating pig's gidim, that would be a violation of eating tamea, and would also be a violation of gidanasha. But how does that work? How do you say, but if he holds ein iser chal iser, how could he have two iserim on the same item? Gemara says, "V'kasova, kasova are noeg b'shliul. The iser gid v'iser tuma b'hadei hadadei kasi." Rabbi Huda holds that the iser of gidanasha already kicks in the moment the fetus is created. So that when the fetus is created, the gid and the iser tuma come together, and therefore it's not iser chal iser. It's b'hadei hadadei. They come in the same moment b'vasachas. So Gemara says, "Me matzad amrish." Could you really say that Rabbi Huda thinks that gidanasha applies to shliul, to a fetus? Doesn't it tell us in the Mishnah, Hatanan, Bishliel, Rabbi Huda Omer, Eina Noeg, Bishliel, Vichava Mutter. He held that no, the fat is Mutter and the Shliel is Mutter. Until it's born, there's no Isser. So now what happens is the Shliel has an Isser of Timea when it's in utero, but when it's born, there's an Isser Gid that comes into play. So that's still, isn't that Ein Isser Chal Isser? So Gemara says, no. Hane Mili Gavi Tahora, Drachman Amar Kol Bebehema Tochelu. The only time we say this din of that it doesn't apply to the shliel is only when it comes to a kosher animal, because it says kol behema tochelu, all that which you eat. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, if you look at Rashi three wide lines down, kol behema vafilu chel bo begido, even the fat, the chel, which is normally aser, and even the gid, the mehai kra nafkal on heter shliel b'shchitat ha'im. This pasuk of kol behema lo tochelu, kol behema tochelu rather, you eat, is talking about the shliel. When it comes to a behema that's born, you can't eat the chelav of it, and you can't eat the gid. But when it's in a shliel, kol behema, the entire shliel may be eaten, even the gid. So we clearly see from here that Rabbi Huda holds that the gid anusha doesn't apply to the behema, but the Gemara says that's only behema tahora, where the gid is not usher when it's a shliel. But in contrast, the val b'tivmeya, knowing when it's a non-kosher animal, there Rabbi Huda thinks it is going to be chal. So therefore, as a shliel, as a fetus, when a non-kosher animal, the iser gid exists, and also the iser of non-kosher tmeya exists as well. They come at the same moment when it comes to behema tmeya. So the Gemara challenges this concept of mi matas amris de tervayu b'hadei hadadei kasu. Is it really possible that both of them come in the very same moment, the iser gid and the iser of tmeya come at the same time? The Mishnah tells us, and we saw this Mishnah quoted earlier, Al Elu Tumos HaNazir Megalech. We know one of the three assume that apply to a Nazir, he can't drink wine, he can't cut his hair, and he can't come into contact with Tumas Meis. So the Mishnah talks about which Tumos of Meis can a Nazir not come into contact with. If he does, he has to start all over again. Megalech Al HaMeis VaKadayis Min HaMeis. If he comes into contact into the same room as a Meis, and also Kadayis Min HaMeis. So ask the Gemara Kashalot. Once we establish a kazayas is enough to make him tame, certainly an entire mace would be. So what's it talking about? So Amar Yochanan lo nitzach ela the nefel shalom niskashu evar begidim. It's talking about a nefel stillborn whose bones and limbs have not come together yet. They're not joined yet. And we see from here that alma iser tuma kadim. So we see from here that what? That the iser of tuma came before him, because even though we're saying that the Isser of Tumah exists before the Gidim came into contact, there was no Isser of Gidim. The Gid wasn't there. The Gidim didn't exist. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shalonis Kashu, seven lines up, We see from this that the limbs are created before the gidim begin to connect the limbs together. So that means the eivarm exists as an issa tuma, but gidanasha doesn't exist yet until later on in the development. So they don't come in the same moment, like we said before. So there is a problem of iser chalal iser. And Rehuda holds ain iser chalal iser. So the Gemara says no. This case is different. Alpha gav the iser tuma kadim. You're right that really the eivarm, the iser tuma, is created first, and the gid hanasha only comes afterwards. And we would normally say ein iser chal iser, that the gid hanasha iser shouldn't be chal on the already existing iser tuma. But this case is different. We know when that second iser is more chamer, it's stricter, it's more expansive. It can be chal al iser. And that's what the Gemara says, that Alpha Gav the Isser Tumah Kadim, even though the Isser Tumah came first, Asi Isser, Gid, and Chai Lala. Isser gets Chal on top of the existing Isser of Tumah. Why? Shekain Isuro Noah B'Vnei Noach, since it's more expansive, that the Gid Anasha applies even to B'Vnei Noach. The Isser Tumah doesn't apply to B'Vnei Noach, only we have to keep kosher. They don't. But the Isser Gid adds something new that the first Isser didn't have, namely that it applies to B'Vnei Noach, and therefore it's Chal on Beim Tmeya. And Dekanami, there's also precise to say, Dekatani Amar Yehuda, Alo Mibnei Yaakov Nesar Gid Anasha. That's exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. What was his taina? His taina is, of course, it applies to the Beim Tmeya. How do I know? Because it applied to Bnei Yaakov, the Din of Bnei Noach, Vadain Beim Tmeya, Mutar Shlem. And therefore, that for that reason, since the Isser Gid Anasha applies to Ben Noach, that's why it's Chal, even though it's on an already existing Isser of Tumah of Brim Kodesh.
I think I understand. The Mishnah said